This is Report to Wyoming.
This show targets local issues that matter right here in Natrona County, where we talk to real people about their thoughts and ideas. Today's episode features an interview with Fathom Swanson, the creator, producer, and madam of Keyhole Peep Show, a burlesque troupe from right here in Natrona County that is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. 10 years of existence is an extraordinary feat for any small business, let alone one that is as unique as a burlesque troupe. But Swanson and her team have done it, and in doing so, they've inspired a generation of cast members and audience members, showing them that there are no set parameters when it comes to beauty standards. Just being yourself, regardless of shape, size, background, or anything else, is what makes you beautiful. So step inside this fascinating glimpse behind the curtain of a Wyoming-based burlesque troupe. All you have to do is look through the keyhole. So kind of, I guess, you're coming up on 10 years, so I guess just take me back to when you first decided that this was something you wanted to not only, like, create your own company, but what made you want to, like, get into the world of burlesque?
Well, I was in the world of burlesque long before Keyhole was a thing. So for me, I had already done touring and traveling and all of that, and what finally made me to decide to do Keyhole like here is actually kind of like an accident. You know, there was a performer that I'd worked with in another city. He was touring and he was on his way to Denver, and so we thought, oh, I know Fathom, she's got to have a burlesque in Casper. There's not.
Yeah.
So he messaged me and he was like, hey, I'm gonna be in your neck of the woods, can you host me and like host me for a show? And I'm like, well, I can definitely host you, but burlesque doesn't exist where I am. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I know, because every time I've seen you, I've come to you, you've never come to me. So then I made a show just because they were traveling, and that was actually in the middle of summer. It was July, and so it was super random, super fluke, just to help a performer that's touring.
Sure.
And that show was such a success that I thought, well, maybe we should try October, because that's the biggest season. October to February is burlesquers' vaudeville biggest season, you know? That's our time. And then that was a big success. And then I'm like, well, now that we've done 2 shows, I guess I'll keep going. So initially when Keyhole started, yes, I had this idea, like we talked about the other day. I did have this idea to have something that Wyoming doesn't have, because there is so many amazing artists that need platforms. You know, now, of course, there's so many more options, but 10 years ago, there wasn't. There was literally nothing. You know, that's just how it was. You were either in a band, you know, or if you did drag, then you traveled somewhere else to drag, and that was it. There was, like, no in-between or anything.
Yeah.
So after doing those 2 shows, I realized, like, I should keep going, because I wasn't. You know, I thought it's going to be too hard. It makes me nervous. If I actually just own the company, that makes me nervous, you know, and whatever. And, yeah, I just realized after those 2 shows, I'm like, I should just keep going and just see what happens. And then here we are, good, bad, horrible, through the darkest of darks, lowest of lows, to the highest of highs, you know, we've made it to 10 years. And so July 19th marked 10 years. And it's so crazy that several of the venues we performed at don't even exist anymore.
Right.
They're not even open. Yeah. And so like it kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, you did like the Wolcott Galleria.
You know,
you did like, what were some of the other ones?
Black Gold Grill.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore. Wonder Bar. That doesn't exist anymore, which is a travesty.
Yeah, agreed.
And the Hall on Ash, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy. So you've outlasted all of these
which
buildings.
Is really weird.
Right?
Which is really weird.
What was it, like, when you were, I guess, kind of growing up, like, what was it about burlesque that, like, got your attention? Like,
well, I grew up in a showbiz family. I have several relatives that were dancers. My mom was a professional dancer.
Oh, cool.
All the way up forever.
Yeah.
And she danced when she was pregnant with me. My mom was a professional dancer. My mom took classes with Fred Astaire in the 80s before he retired.
That's way
so
cool.
My mom's level of dance and her career were very different than mine.
Yeah.
So that was my mom's life, you know. So she joked that I came out dancing because she still taught dance, you know, when she was pregnant with me and still worked. And so the minute I was born, I was in a dance studio. I started taking classes at 3. I started taking, like, I was actually part of a dance academy. So I took several classes, you know, where you have to wear a special uniform. It's all fancy and blah, blah, blah. And then I would take pro cheer. So my whole life was always in arts. That's always what it was.
Yeah.
And because of that, I had the privilege of growing up with old movies and musicals like Ziegfeld Follies and all of that smoke and mirrors that is glamour, right? And my grandmother was a pinup model, so I grew up seeing pictures of her.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So my grandma was a beautiful, amazing woman.
Do you
very
have
successful.
Pictures that you can send me of your grandmother and your mom and then like you?
I do. My ones of my grandma I'll have to scan, but I believe I do. I actually have like some of her professional like pinup
shots.
Or even
if you just want to like use your phone and stuff.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And my mom, I think I have some of like in her heyday. My mom was also really big into beauty pageants.
Cool.
My mom was like super successful in beauty pageants. Like that's how she paid for her college was beauty pageants. So my mom was like, our trajectory in arts was very different. Very different. But still the same, just very, like, very different, you know? No, I definitely do. And then I do think I have some, like, embarrassing little baby pictures of me. And very young burlesque pictures of me.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes.
So, yeah, because like I said, I started when I was 17. So technically I started illegally. I'm pretty sure I have the very first pictures of the first ever burlesque act I did, which was in someone's living room.
Cool.
For a birthday. So that's how it started.
It was just like some dude's basement.
Yeah. It was like someone's living close enough to basement adjacent. Okay. It was for a birthday. It was a surprise. And then from there, it just like took off. And I already knew what it was. And I was already dabbling in that kind of stuff because I was go-go dancing and wild and whatever.
Yeah.
And so it was just a natural progression to do it. But I think I do. So I totally can't send you pictures. But,
sure.
But yeah, so I grew up with already loving performance art because of my grandmother and my mother. You know, my aunt and uncles were also in performance arts. All of my siblings are musicians, dancers. Like, that's just, we just kind of have that thing, you know? And so for me, when I found out, like, burlesque was my calling, it wasn't probably until I was probably like 19 or something in Montana when I was like performing with circus stuff and they specifically asked me to do burlesque with the freak show stuff that I realized, oh, this is what I've been looking for. Like, I already knew what it was. I'd already dabbled in it. But the specific thing was burlesque because it was the weirdos. It was the people that didn't fit into a box. But all I saw was these amazing, talented people that had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, and so I thought they were beautiful and magical and amazing, you know? And so to see all these artists that weren't in a box, but doing all this really weird, crazy, amazing, cool stuff, I thought, oh, I want to be that.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want to know what I'm doing for myself, but I don't, like, I want to have the mystery of where I'm performing. How do I have to problem solve? How do I have to adapt to all these people that I'm going to meet for the first time and then I'm performing with them 10 minutes later,
right.
You know? And to me, the energy and how on your toes you had to be all the time, I think that's what really got me. And vaudeville in general, it naturally lends itself to have crazy adventures. You have to go to other cities, you're performing in weird places, you're meeting unusual people. So it naturally, like I said, it naturally lends itself to have crazy stories.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what I loved about it too, because at that age, I wanted to be like wild and free. You know, I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to leave behind my scholarship. I wanted to go completely against the grain. And so that just was what it was. It provided the vehicle to go on adventures, you know? And I think that's why it stuck and whatnot. And not to mention just seeing people's creativity, how they use their body to match that song.
Yeah.
Or that costume piece inspires them, you know? And you never know what you're going to get, right? You could have a show with, like, hardly any clothes, or you could have a mainly fully clothed show if you have lots of drag queens and opera singers and musicians. Like, you don't know what you're going to get.
Sure.
But the base of it is the human body is the art form.
Right.
They are the vessel to express themselves and hopefully inspire someone watching, whether that be a magician like Byron Gray, you know, opera with Opera Wyoming, drag queens, you know, circus people, their body is their tool.
Yeah. And that's,
you know,
and
that's kinda, a common thread that holds all of us together.
And I think what's so cool about that is, like, when you think of burlesque, like these people, like men or women, like they're not size sixes. Like you're giving these
It's a wide range.
Yeah. Like you're giving these people with all shapes and sizes and backgrounds and whatnot a chance to
and
really
ages
express
too.
Yourself.
Yeah. Moms, business owners.
You literally have
teachers.
Like Misha and her mom are
yes.
in the same show.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have teachers, we have medical people, we have people that work like in government offices. You know, it's just they're just all just whoever, you know, which is I think is amazing. You can see an 80-year-old performer next to an 18-year-old performer, you know, in the same show, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool that vaudeville, like I use that as the blanket term now, especially for Keyhole now. Before, our logo was Keyhole Peep Show Burlesque Entertainment.
Yeah.
And over the years, I'm like, oh, we're just vaudeville because I want to welcome any weirdo and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
Vaudeville in general, what makes it also so unique and special, A, it's like the oldest art form, performance art form there is, you know, next to Greek theater, you know, it's the oldest art form, but it also like welcomes so many people. There are no rules. There's no limits. There's nothing. It can be anything you want it to be, you know?
And with that, like, what does that do to, we'll start with you and then we can talk about the people that you brought in. What does that do to, like, your confidence? Because you're, like, for you, you have this opportunity to be whoever, whatever you want. Like, did that help a lot, like, in building kind of your self-esteem and
Yeah, so for me, you know, I've been doing this so long. I don't know if, like, for me personally, I don't think self-esteem's the right word for me at all. Even though I love it, obviously, it's my life, you know. It has been for a very long time. It does that didn't affect me. It was more like business and how do I keep the art going for me. But for other people, I specifically know that the reason how come they came to a show is because the girl on the poster looked like them.
Right.
And they wanted to see it.
Sure.
And they saw, oh, she has the same body as me. I want to see someone that looks like me being represented. Yeah. And I want to see what she does. And then when people come and are inspired and come to the shows, they definitely get confidence. You know what I mean? Like, couples will make it a date night because they both can feel comfortable going to a more adult show and be comfortable in their sexuality and it's okay, you know, kind of thing. And so I know specifically for lots of people, that is the whole reason why they actually love burlesque.
Right.
Is because they are in control, they are in power, they decide how they want to look and feel. No one else.
Right.
And then it's so amazing when you decide how you look and feel and then they get cheers and people love it. So it's okay to be them. So then the confidence goes through the roof, of course.
Right. I think of somebody like Alora, who I knew her when we did like Rocky the first time.
Yes, like 3 years ago.
She was like this little field mouse, just like very quiet. And now like you see her and she's not. Yeah. It's amazing.
I know, it's wonderful.
To see that transformation.
I love to see him grow. Especially since I've been doing this so long, I've known some performers for 20 years, you know, and so to see it when we first did these like basement corner shows with punk bands to now is like so amazing. And then to see some people that, you know, started out taking a couple classes from me to like coming to a show and now they're in the show is like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like I love it. I love it when someone feels powerful about themselves.
Absolutely.
You know,
would you say that's like one of the big goals of Keyhole is to give them that? Or like, what are some of the, like, what do you want to accomplish?
So Keyhole, I want to accomplish the world is what I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
I'm a fiery redhead. I want it all is what I mean, not really, but yes. So I want Keyhole's back in the day, our focus was just providing fun, unique, different entertainment, you know, cause we were the only one doing what we were doing. And I kept having to travel to other states to do what I was doing. So I wanted to bring the cool artists that I know to my hometown, you know? So that was the bare grassroots, is I just wanted to put a cool show in my hometown that doesn't have this. And then now it's obviously grown so much more. In the early days, it was, how do we just make a show happen? How do I do a show? How do I get my cool friends from Colorado to come down? That was it.
Right.
Now it's much more emotional. You know, now it's so much more deep. I mean, it always was for me, but business side and company wise, now it's much more emotional. Now it's like, how does that make you feel? What is everyone telling them their gut is telling them to do? Do we need to do 3 shows this month or do we only do 1? You know, because the focus of our company has changed so much.
Right.
It is about celebrating. Our tagline is "Come to Keyhole Peep Show, where we celebrate body diversity and confidence,
right.
and all are welcome."
Sure.
You know, that is our tagline. We say we're the wild, you know, we're the ragtag saloon girls of the Wild West, because we are ragtag. Everyone is just them, and we just figure it out, you know, kind of thing. And I don't want them to change. So that, like I said, now it's much more emotional now. You know, now it's about, okay, this person has an idea. How do we make that art happen for them?
Right.
Now, not about where do I book that venue to make a show happen. Now it's like, what artists do I have to make it so they can express themselves? And who can we inspire in the audience?
Right.
You know, and so now the goal is, A, obviously, to continue to do shows. Of course, my life, I don't forever see it changing. You know, there's 80-year-old burlesquers that are still performing,
sure.
you know? So I assume, you know, heaven forbid and whatever, that I will just be going until I go. And then at some point, I probably will step back off the stage, but then I will just be the producer. There
sure.
will be other people that will perform, and I'll just be making the shows happen,
yeah.
right? But I don't need to be on stage. Other wonderful people can make it happen. So, of course, our goal now is just to keep going.
Sure.
How do we make our reach more? Now our goal is to really spread Keyhole, you know, a tour, applying for festivals. So the girls now will tour with me to cities I perform at.
Cool.
So that's, we are thinking much bigger, you know, now, as well as being emotional. Like, now it isn't just, okay, how do we make a show happen?
Right.
Now it's like, what does everyone feel like doing? You're inspired by this, that fits in the spring show. Let's do it.
Right.
Like, let's do it. What is your gut telling you? Let's figure it out.
And now you yeah. kind of have the confidence of, you have so many shows under your belt now
yeah.
that, like, you're not stressing about that part as much. Now you really can kind of cater it.
I know the show's going to happen.
Right.
I know the show's going to happen, whether it's good or bad, whether it's a mess or not, the show's going to happen. And the audience is going to have a fun time. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're right. Now it is about, how do we make people feel good about themselves? How do we leave them telling everybody about it for a week after the show? You know, now the focus is much more, like I said, emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And now the focus is, how do we grow and spread? You know, now we have a bigger venue, which is wonderful, as well as our cute little sassy short sweet shows at the Pig. So now we have two homes.
Yeah.
We've never had two homes before. So the fact that we have two home bases is mind-blowing to me. And the fact that we're not just worrying about one show a month, the fact that we're worrying about, do we do a show every month?
Yeah.
How many shows do we do in a month? The fact that we are now juggling that schedule is amazing, that yeah. we've come that far.
Absolutely. You know? So how did it come about that you got The Void as well? Tell me about both of these partnerships.
Well, actually, The Void came of me. I'm a problem solver, as we talked
yes.
about.
Yes.
Our show in Douglas canceled on us 3 days before our show. We have come so far in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and yet we still have light years to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mainly because, even though we are 10 years old, we haven't had the luxury to keep going for 10 years. We've had to stop a year.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to stop 2 years. We've had to have breaks trying to find venues because they've closed, trying to figure things out, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we haven't had the luxury to really cultivate, keep going, like a lot of big cities that they can just go all the time.
Right.
But yeah, so we've come so far, but I still want to go so much farther. You know, we are still learning, still growing, figuring things out. I'm always evolving. I don't ever want to stop learning and trying things. So yeah, but it just sucks that because of the business I do, like, none of that has changed.
Right.
Still dealing with men, no offense.
Yeah,
in very expensive suits. You know, saying they want us, but then changing their mind, and people thinking that our time isn't valuable when I'm going to sell out their venue.
Yeah.
And this whole year, our show's going to be the fullest your venue's ever going to be this whole year. I don't care how cool that comedian is, no offense. I don't care how cool that band is, no offense. But this is a small country town. You booked us for a reason.
Yeah.
It's no secret what we do.
Yeah.
You've seen us perform before. That's why you booked us. You saw us at an event, and you said, how do I get you in my venue?
Yeah.
And I deal with that all the time. I will deal with it more.
Sure.
And it's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the fact is, too, like, I'll sink, like, $1,000 to $2,000 in a show, and they won't give me any of that back.
Yeah.
I'll lose all that money replanning a show.
Right.
and they could give a shit, right? Yep. You know? And so it doesn't affect them, but it affects us. People that have been planning the show for like 2 months, me spending like $1,000 to $2,000, and I didn't see any of that to even like break even with ticket sales. So yeah, and it'll happen again, but because of the area we live in, that is the uphill climb. You know, even though a lot of our art is mainstream and a lot of people know it, it's still not in the areas we're in, which is kind of the point of why I'm doing it. You know, my point is to ruffle feathers. My point is to push against it. My point is not to be in a box. So we do it to ourselves. But because of that, I was once again problem solving. I've done it 100 times. I have to do it again. And I thought, well, the girls' work's done. We have 1 weekend free in August. I guess I'm going to call a bunch of venues. In Casper, you know what I mean? Yeah. I guess because that show is going to be out of town. So I guess I'll figure it out and see if it can happen, you know, 2 weeks from now, right? And the first place I called was The Void because I knew he was friends with Josh. So I was like, oh, well, he knows Josh, so he's probably down for weirdos. That's the other thing, too, because I get told no more than yes all the time. Oh, yes. Yes. I hardly ever get told yes. I most of the time get told no, or they don't even answer me at all.
Right.
That too. But so I thought, well, he's friends with Josh, so I should call him. And called him. They knew who he were. They've been to shows, and they were like, how do we figure this out? And I'm like, well, wait, I want a show to happen in 2 weeks from now because we've worked over 2 months on this summer show.
Sure.
And I want it to happen for the girls. You know what I mean? Whether it's sold out or not, I don't care. Even if there's 10 people in there, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But all the girls have done this work. We have this 1 week in free where I want to make it happen. And that's the thing. Performers are resourceful. Like, well, we don't want to give up. Everyone else wants to give up around us, but we don't want to give up, you know? And that's the wonderful thing about art is like, I feel like they never give up. No matter how horrible it is, they still keep pushing and still keep going, right? And so they set up a meeting, figured it out, and then they booked us the whole year.
That's cool.
It was that simple.
So they were just like, you guys are awesome.
Hey, how do we get you here? And I'm like, well, do you have a calendar? They brought out a calendar, and we booked us the rest of the year.
Cool. Does that take like some like pressure off of you? Like just knowing that you for sure have...
No.
Okay.
The pressure changes.
Sure.
Because now not only do we have the wonderful Pig to perform at, but now we have another big venue where we have a stage, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But now the pressure's different because now the shows are triple the cost. Pig shows almost cost nothing to perform, right? Because most of the time we can't have big fancy props.
Yeah.
We're just working with what we have, which is fine. That's what makes the Pig shows so great. That's what makes them wonderful. That's what makes them punk rock. And I love it. And they're only an hour long, you know? Our full shows, like we used to do at the Walcott, Black Old Grill, and the Hall and Ash, they're 2 hour like theatrical productions. Like you're going to a show with an intermission. VIP gift bags, figuring out cost of that, renting seats, renting tables, more fancy costumes, more rhinestones, more props, more things, more people. You need more staff. You know, when you do a big show, you just don't need one or two people. You need like 10 people, you know, that aren't performers. So instantly you've climbed from 15 people involved to 30 people involved. And so the pressure changes because then it's like, well, we have to sell out a show every time. Because our shows just aren't like $1,000 anymore.
Yeah.
They're like $3,000 to $5,000, which is cheap when you think about putting on productions. But for us, that's a lot of money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it is wonderful and amazing, and I did, like, a weight did lift off my shoulders when they were down to have us more, because I thought this would just be a fluke, just so we could get the show done, and whatever happens, happens, because it was only 2 weeks away, and I'm like, okay, just as long as the girls get to showcase the work that they've worked on, that's all I care about, and I'll figure it out. And then it turned into, well, how do we get you for the rest of the year? And I was like, oh, people actually want us? Like, I kind of felt like the kid being picked for the first time for the game, right? Because normally I'm not. Normally I'm the kid alone on the swing set or in the sandbox. You know, I don't get picked. And so for the fact that they were, like, just as excited as Josh was, like, okay, how do we get you?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys need to rehearse here? Tell us your schedule. You can rehearse here. And that was magical. Because I'm not used to people being excited to have us, you know, and wanting to figure it out. And letting it... Give it time so it can flourish and grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, I hope that these next few shows go well so we can continue to go. But yeah, we have October, December, February, and April booked awesome. With them. So, I mean, yeah, it was that simple. And they're like, we want you. How do we make it happen? And I love how they were so cute. They're like, yeah, we really want some, like, you know, classy entertainment here. We want. And I'm looking at them like, you've been to our shows, right? I mean, we are classy, but we're not. Yeah. We're called the Ragtag Saloon Girls for a reason. But I love how that's what they started with. They're like, oh, we really want to have a classy demographic in here. And I'm like, ooh. I mean, you know that our shows are like a punk rock show, right? Just with, like, sequins and glitter. I mean, that's all it is. I mean, it's like Kiss, just this version.
Yeah,
I know, right? But yeah, so the pressure is on, especially since this is our first show there. But like I said, it's a different kind of pressure. It's like a good pressure because you're in competition with yourself.
Right.
And you want to prove yourself right. You want to prove all of them wrong. And you want to put on a good show and have people have a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, and moving forward, the pressure will be on. But once again, like I said, it'll be a different kind of pressure. It'll be like a fun pressure. Like, how are we going to use the space to our advantage? What crazy things can we do here? Now in that bigger space, we can have circus performers again.
Yeah.
Which has been wonderful because we haven't been able to have circus performers because the pig can't accommodate them.
Yeah.
But now in that venue, we can have circus performers, which I'm so excited to include our friends again. And then these shows will be so different from those shows. So then there will be something for everybody, which I love to have different vibes and energy in every show. I love that. And yeah. So me as a businesswoman, the pressure is on, more on, but it's, like I said, it's different. It's like a good kind of pressure. Like, okay, now we need to do merch again. Because we have a space to have a merch table.
Yeah.
We need merch again. We need more elaborate props. We need more elaborate stage cues. We need more.
Right.
We need three smoke machines, not one.
Are you guys going to have like a light kit and stuff like that? Is Nick helping you out with that? Awesome.
Yeah. So totally fully designed and everything, which is so cool. Since this show's short notice, I don't think we're going to do like smoke machines or anything crazy. I think it's just going to be pretty... in our theater world, a simple light cue to cue, but it'll still be beautiful since it's Nick. You know, he knows what he's doing. I just send him the music and the notes and he figures it all out. And I'm like, we started on stage, you know what to do. These are our costumes. You're great.
Sure.
So yeah, we're doing all that. Dan's hosting. He's going to wear a sequin jacket, which is fabulous. And our next show, Halloween show, we were already talking about smoke machines. Strobe lights, black lights. We're having black light this show, which is cool. So we have a whole new black light kit, which is really awesome. And we've already talked about bigger and better, like how do we utilize a venue with a high ceiling, big stage, a runway, you know, that kind of thing and whatnot.
That's awesome.
So bigger, better, bigger group numbers, bigger productions, more elaborate, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. And Nick said that you guys are probably going to do like an all-girl Rocky Horror this year.
Yes. And so Keyhole's doing that.
Cool.
And it's just the Keyhole cast, which I think is how it came about. Like, how do we... I don't remember what he said. But he was like, I want to do a different energy and see what happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? And he's like, Keyhole Peep Show is the cast of Rocky. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, so all female. I'm like, okay. And he's like, female power. And I'm like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
There's whenever Fox did that like live version of Rocky Horror with like Laverne Cox.
It was not good.
It wasn't good, but I liked the idea.
Parts of it were good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like her as Frankenfurter was...
It made sense.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, energy was great. It totally made sense when they cast her.
Yeah.
But I watched it and I was like...
Ugh. Yeah, the rest was awkward. But...
How much did they spend on this?
Right.
Who told them yes?
Yeah.
Who all sat around and thought, that's what we need? That's what we need.
But I do like the idea of, like... the all female thing.
Because it totally changes things.
Yeah,
it totally changes the energy.
Yeah.
You know, it changes the vibe, it changes the focus. And I think that's what him and the director like wanted. They wanted like a different energy. They wanted to try something. So I'm excited to see what happens. You know, kind of thing. And yet we have those three shows with Rocky that is Keyhole. And then we have the two shows here. And then we have the show at the Pig in October.
Cool. So busy couple months coming up.
Yeah, right? Which is what you want, right, as an artist.
Yeah.
That's what you crave.
To read more about Fathom and the Keyhole Peep Show, be sure to check out our story, Through the Keyhole, on K2Radio.com or on the K2 Radio mobile app.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.